And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Top of the morning to you, Pete and Nick, back with you, NHL Fantasy on Ice for week 21 and St. Patrick's Day week. Of course, we got Waiver Wire James on in his true colors, green. But what's going on, Nick? Big weekend with the Heritage Classic and a couple of key injuries.
I'm doing fantastic, my man. 1 week away from the NHL trade deadline. Let's hope for a trade this week, at least one. Just get my heart going, my blood going a bit. But yeah, it was a fantastic weekend. I thought the Heritage Classic was great. And have yourself a week, Buffalo Sabres. It's been a while, Pete, since I can say that. So good on them this week.
Let's go, man. I mean, first off, how is Craig Anderson still this good? Me and James were talking about that over the weekend, but I think they knocked the Leafs out of their comfort zone, not just yesterday, but also the previous game. And you look at the Leafs and their successful power play has been shut out in the past two games against the Buffalo Sabres. So major props to Buffalo as they look to, you know, raise the trajectory for their franchise. Let's bring on Waiver Wire James to talk about it, man. I mean, the Leafs goaltending, James, is a train wreck right now. Peter Mrazek can't stop much. Jack Campbell is injured and out for at least 2 weeks. What do you make of this situation and what it means for the Maple Leafs moving forward?
That they should probably start wearing their St. Patrick's jerseys and praying that the luck of the Irish gives them something in net. I'm really not sure what to make of it right now. You know, Peter Mrazek, we thought that he was going to be a stabilizing presence in net when they brought him over and they let Freddie Anderson go. And obviously I was a very harsh critic the last couple of years of Freddie Anderson when he was playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But man, you look at that right now and you're saying, whew, they bet in the wrong direction on that one, going with Mrazek and Jack Campbell at the moment. And Campbell was great for the first half of the season, but they have just tanked in net and they need to do something right now. I'm rostering Campbell just because of how good he was earlier in the season, and I'm waiting for him to get back. But Mrazek right now, is you can't roster him in fantasy because he's just going to be costing you every week the way he's playing at the moment.
It's the old onion analogy, boys, with layers, because I think we add another layer leading up to the NHL trade deadline, and that's the fact that Toronto needs to get Marc-Andre Fleury. I think there's no bones about it. They need an upgrade. They're not going to get a guy who's going to be very similar in tone to Mrazek or Campbell. So I think that's one of the bigger storylines to follow in the next week. You mentioned the numbers on the Maple Leafs, guys. 10 of the last 12 games, they surrendered four or more goals. You know, I'm not going to use an excuse for them because I don't think, you know, it's an excuse-ridden business, but I think complacency has started to seep in here. This team has had a playoff spot for 2.5 months. It's a rough stretch, but I think their hope is that they can round their game into form, because let's be honest, like, and I messaged a couple buddies, boys, that are coaches in higher levels. And I said, does this team not surrender the most high danger opportunities in the league? Like, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm not defending the goaltending. I just think defensively speaking, they need to rectify a couple things here and there, but they've been, Pete, they've been in a playoff spot for what, 2 months now?
Yeah, they have. And I mean, the problem is that they make the playoffs every year with this core, but anytime they hit any adversity, I mean, they hit some adversity yesterday, right?
Yes.
They blew a lead. They were trailing late in the third period. They had a chance. Buffalo blows leads all the time this year. Buffalo can never hold a lead, but they hold a lead against the Maple Leafs. Then the chippiness starts. Of course, Matthews is having a hearing Monday, so keep an eye on that for sure. But look at how Buffalo responded to that. Dylan Cousins defended his teammate, and it put them over the top in the game. I mean, I thought that was a really nice response for a Buffalo team that has very little to play for when you look big picture for the rest of this season. But they found something, and they overmatched, like, both physically and also, you know, technically in the game, one of the best teams in the league. So I was really impressed by them. And James, looking at some of the hidden value on Buffalo, I mentioned Craig Anderson. Obviously, their top line guys are already rostered. Dahlin's already rostered. But you've seen a little something from Peyton Krebs, I hear, lately?
Yeah, you know, I was a big fan of Peyton Krebs when he first came over. I wanted to see more when he was in Vegas, and obviously, you know, that team was so deep at the time that they had him sent down. But now, you know, he's got four points in his last five games, really starting to come on strong. Obviously had the multi-goal game in the Heritage Classic against the Leafs. And when you look at their upcoming schedule, you know, they play Edmonton on St. Patrick's Day. They play Calgary. That's a back-to-back the next night. And then they play Vancouver. So I think that there's, you know, some sneaky value there for a guy like Peyton Krebs in a few of these matchups coming up, you know, as a stream. And obviously you mentioned Craig Anderson, and, you know, we sit there and we say, man, how is this guy, you know, still this good? Four wins in his last five starts, and he's just, you know, plugging along. But to just get back to the Leafs really quickly too, I think one other thing we have to, you know, mention over the last few weeks is the fact that they've been playing without Jake Muzzin. And I think we forget how much of a solidifying force and presence he is on that back end when he's not in the lineup. So I think that's also contributed over this span to really hurting them defensively, because they don't have arguably their best two-way defenseman in the lineup.
Hasn't really had a good year, but I know what you're saying. I think it's quite clear that they have some decisions to make between now and the deadline. Do I go after a defenseman? Do you go after a forward? Do you upgrade in between the pipes? So certainly I think Toronto, always a polarizing team, guys, this time of year. I think my theme for this week's waiver wire, James, will be under ownership and underutilized. There's a lot of players out there that I mystified. I look at, you know, the rankings, I look at their ownership, and I'm like, what are people doing in their leagues right now? Like, who do they have on their roster? Is it Rem Pitlick? Is it Peyton Krebs? Like, what are we doing here? Because I see names like Josh Norris, and a name I wanted to zone in on was in Detroit, and Jacob Vrana. He has 3 goals in 3 games this season, guys. He has 11 in 14 games with Detroit. James, do you agree with me that he should be a must-own file right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And we spoke about Vrana and we spoke about Anthony Mantha a few weeks ago before they both made their returns to the respective lineups in Detroit and in Washington. And I said both of them, I think I loved for the rest of the season, but I liked Vrana a little bit more because I thought he was going to see on that, you know, bad team, high usage. And that's what we're seeing so far. Like you said, 3 goals in 3 games, 10 shots on goal, 6 hits. 2 of his goals so far are power play goals. So he's been thrown back into it, seeing a great amount of usage. And again, he's still not playing with Dylan Larkin, who he played with last season after the trade. And I think that if they put them back together, or at least if they put Vrana on that top power play with those big guys that they have, he's going to be an absolute stud for the rest of the season. Like you said, all he does there so far is score, in, you know, since he got traded there from the deadline last year. So yeah, I'm a big, big proponent of adding a guy like Jacob Vrana, who is only 33% rostered in Yahoo right now.
And he's probably the top overall replacement for Gabriel Landeskog if you look at outside replacement options. Of course, Landeskog is going to miss some significant time here. He's going to have a knee surgery. It's not ACL, but it sounds like he might not join them until maybe something like the deep stretch run, or maybe even the playoffs, if he's hopefully able to recover by then. But looking at in-house options for the Colorado Avalanche, there are a plethora, right? There's Andrei Burakovsky, who's on the top line. He already was when Landeskog was on the second line. There's Nichushkin. There's Alex Newhook. And there's also JT Compher, who's kind of a versatile Swiss Army knife. Who do you like the best out of that group, James?
Yeah, there's this guy nobody really knows, but his name is Nathan MacKinnon. If he's available, go out and grab him. I've always been a big Compher fan. It seems like every time he gets a shot in an expanded role in the top of their lineup, he always produces. But it definitely seems, you know, right now, like Burakovsky and Newhook are going to be those guys that get the opportunity. You know, we've talked about Nichushkin ad nauseum sometimes this season. We've talked about all of these guys at different points this season right now, but you know, Burakovsky 64% owned in Yahoo. So, you know, he's obviously probably the most well-known out of the group. When you look at Compher, I think that, you know, he's going to probably get a good look. So it really, I'd say, comes down to just who fits your lineup and your roster more. None of them have really taken off since the Landeskog injury, so I'm not jumping out to add any of them, but matchup dependent right now, I would definitely be jumping on one of those guys.
Yeah, I'm on Newhook, guys. I'm cautious like you, but I think most importantly, again, I love trades. I think this opens up the door a bit more for Claude Giroux and maybe, you know, wiggling and finagling his way to Colorado. Important note, Claude Giroux will play game 1,000, I believe, on Thursday on St. Patrick's Day. And then in my opinion, after that, I think trade talk's really, really going to pick up because he did what he had to do, played that, you know, elusive game. And then I think the trade will follow suit. And I do think Colorado was a really, really good fit. You take Landeskog out, you take Girard out. I think, obviously, Pete, there is the potential to have Claude Giroux in a top six look, if you can believe it, in Colorado.
It's kind of like a double-edged sword with this situation. It helps them if in the event that Landeskog will come back in the playoffs. Like, they have some long-term IR. They just signed Landeskog to a huge money contract in the offseason to keep him around in free agency. So they could have more flexibility to get Giroux, to get some help on the blue line, maybe even, because Sam Girard is out for 4 weeks too for the Avalanche. So kind of some tough news for them all in one shot with those two significant injuries. But I mean, you never want to see Landeskog go down like this, and you're playing with fire a little bit to be going into the playoffs, even the first round, James, right? Without your captain. I mean, we saw how that team couldn't make adjustments and couldn't adjust its style of play at the most important time of the year last year. And now, like, even the first round, I wouldn't want to be playing like a Dallas Stars in the first round without Gabriel Landeskog, would you?
No, and I think that's why you go out and you get somebody like a Claude Giroux, because he's going to solidify, whether it's that second line or if Landeskog comes back, he's, you know, your third line center, whatever it is. He's going to solidify that power play. He's exactly the type of player that you want to add to this lineup. And then I agree. I think they're going to go out and they're going to try and get, you know, some kind of a veteran depth, you know, defenseman on the, you know, maybe on the third pair who can, you know, play second pair minutes if they need to. But, you know, again, they're fine right now. I mean, they're in cruise control. They're looking playoffs. But it's going to be very, very interesting, because one knock on Jared Bednar has been the fact that he has, you know, not really done very well making adjustments to this lineup on the fly when he needs to. So it's going to be, you know, an interesting case study for him in, you know, how to make adjustments on the fly when you lose impact players like this. But it is interesting to see, because Colorado has been fairly banged up this season, where we have seen, you know, significant players in their lineup missed chunks of time, and they still have been just this consistent and this good.
So you talk about Landeskog replacement options. I want to bring us to Long Island. I don't want to say the Long Island, Long Island. I think there's some really, really good value in the New York Islanders rest of the season. They're starting to play much better, especially Ilya Sorokin and company, defensively speaking, and the offense is getting things into gear. Like, I think an ideal candidate to replace Landeskog on rosters right now is actually the captain, Anders Lee. Like, the Lee and Nelson combo have been fantastic lately, James.
Yeah, absolutely. He has been on fire, or as we used to say, in fuego, baby. And, you know, he's a four game goal streak, you know, 7 goals, 1 assist in that span. He's shooting the lights out, 15 shots on goal, handful of power play points there. And, you know, he does bring that element of physicality, where he has, you know, 4 hits in that 4-game span also. And again, this all started when Matt Barzal was out of the lineup. And it's interesting to see how the Islanders lineup shuffle has kind of given us the lines that they have right now. Nelson and Lee skating with Anthony Beauvillier has probably been the Islanders' best line. The Islanders' second best line has been Pageau skating with Kyle Palmieri. Kyle Palmieri had 2 goals last night as well. So, you know, he's been coming on incredibly strong. He had a game last weekend against St. Louis where 2 goals were called off on video review. And so if it wasn't for those two goals, he would have, or if it wasn't for either of those getting called off, he would have an 8-game point streak right now. But Kyle Palmieri has points in 7 of his past 8 games. He's starting to score a lot more. So there are definitely some options on the island right now. Kyle Palmieri, Brock Nelson, Anders Lee, Anthony Beauvillier. Oliver Wahlstrom was skating with Matt Barzal last night at even strength. And I think that there's a lot of room for them to grow because of just how great each of them is as a skater. Wahlstrom has been a little cold lately, so maybe playing with a playmaker like Barzal jumpstarts him. So I agree. I think there's a lot of depth sneaky right now for the New York Islanders, but they do have a few really, really difficult matchups coming up. They play the Washington Capitals in Washington on Tuesday night, and then they play the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden on St. Patrick's Day. So, you know, a couple of really tricky matchups, but they have a lot of games remaining. I think they have the most games remaining in the league right now. So they're definitely a source that you want to try and tap into the way that they're playing.
And I'm glad I held on to Ilya Sorokin, second in the NHL in shutouts with 6 behind Jacob Markstrom's 9, even though he doesn't
make
get
the argument he should be
much,
first.
Yeah, it's true. And he doesn't get much goal support, but now he's getting it. So he's a really good option, top 10 to 15 for sure for the rest of the season. Last one from me, James. Both Stroms are playing well right now. Dylan Strome, multi-point machine, playing with Kane and DeBrincat. Ryan Strome heating up again for the Rangers with points in 3 straight. And Panarin really erupted over the weekend. Which Strome do you like better for the rest of the season? Because I know Dylan's only about 20% rostered, even with his recent success.
Yeah, and I would say that just because of where he's rostered in comparison to his brother, he's 1/3% rostered compared to Ryan. Ryan is 63%. Dylan is 21%. So he's, you know, so much more widely available. And we've seen streaks like this out of Dylan Strome in the past when he's played with Kane and DeBrincat. So I'm absolutely loving what I'm seeing from him right now. But honestly, I would not be shying away from either one of them. I know it's a little bit of a cop-out answer there, but it's the absolute
it
truth.
Is, yeah.
I mean, they're both playing with, you know, arguably top 10 players in the world. And, you know, Dylan Strome is playing with two guys that we would probably say right now are top 20 players in the league. And you have Artemi Panarin, who might be, you know, one of the 5 all-around best players in the world, playing with Ryan Strome. So you really can't go wrong with either one of them. If I had to say rest of season, I'd probably trust Ryan a little bit more, because we also don't know if Dylan could get moved at the deadline, you know, with Chicago being so far out of it. So, you know, until after the dust settles for the trade deadline, I'm probably saying Ryan Strome. But for the next week until the trade deadline, I would stream Dylan if you have the chance.
I'm with you on that front. It seems like Dylan's like in a pool of like 15 players who are like, they could be on the move. They may not. They would love a change of scenery. They may not. So we'll see on Dylan Strome, because he's been on fire, as you mentioned, for Chicago. James, as always, thanks so much for this. And we'll see what happens here in the next week.
All right, guys. Yeah. And top of the morning, and luck of the Irish to all of you.
Waiver wire, James, my friends. Thanks as always to him for stopping by. Pete, without a shadow of a doubt, the theme of this week's podcast, outside of the NHL trade deadline, which again is a week away, goaltending volatility around this league. Can you name me one goalie who's not cold or injured right now? Like, even Igor Shesterkin's had his mishaps lately, hasn't he?
Right. And we have talked so much about Marc-Andre Fleury, but like, let's try to find some other goalies out there that might be good candidates. James has brought this one up to me for a few weeks off the air. Semyon Varlamov for the Islanders, with how well Sorokin is playing and how much Sorokin is playing. Certainly he's expendable. He's not a free agent this summer. He's a free agent the following summer. So somebody could get something out of Varley. And of course, Varley has been even better than Sorokin. He was last year in the playoffs, and he took the Islanders on 2 deep playoff runs. So if we're talking about teams like Edmonton needing a goalie, or more so Toronto now because of the injury to Campbell, I mean, certainly Varlamov has to be thrown around out there. I don't know if Toronto and the Islanders would do business with each other with all that has transpired over the years, but maybe they would. Varley's probably the next best option in the entire league in terms of a nearby expiring contract that could be traded. What are your thoughts on Varley?
So firstly, I'm not sure how often you read your mentions, but my mentions have been littered the last 2 months with Islanders fans trying to trade Semyon Varlamov to any team that'll take him. it's kind of funny. They've done some great work for on behalf of Lou Lamoriello. You're just never going to know what Lou is thinking. And that's, I think, the most intriguing thing, because the Islanders are out of it. They're not making the playoffs. And obviously they what in a perfect world, you like to sell some pieces. So I like the Varlamov look. I think another team I would throw in the conversation who needs an upgrade is Minnesota. But just to me, it's fascinating how many teams that are in a playoff spot really wonder about their goaltending. Like, even I know Washington, Pete, has been much better as of late, but how much faith do they have, in Vanecek, Manilia Samsonov? Are they looking for an upgrade? And that carousel is going to be intriguing because, again, we've talked about this a lot over the last couple of months, how often or how infrequently we should say a top tier netminder is traded this late in the season around the deadline and actually has success with that new team. Jonathan Quick comes to mind, Ryan Miller going to the St. Louis Blues. We like to forget that, but it did happen, by the way. So you start to wonder names out there. And then on top of that, will some of these guys waive? Like, I know there's been rumors that Semyon Varlamov wanted no part of Edmonton, probably the same for Toronto. Marc-Andre Fleury could pick his spot. Like, that's a name that could come to light. And one more I'll throw at you, by the way, Jake Allen. Sources say, I'm not going to tell you who my sources are, but either Tuesday for return, likely for Thursday against Dallas, which again is perfect because the trade deadline is just around the corner. He's been out since January 12th. I think he's a sneaky pickup in fantasy right now. Montreal, as you know, is playing much better under Martin St. Louis. They're 8-5-1. So even if he doesn't get traded, I think there's actually value in Montreal, but that's the one name I would throw out there. And he doesn't cost a lot per season too.
Yeah, he's had good value as a true backup. Even he's been somewhat efficient through the years with the Blues. And then, of course, the Habs, a little up and down more so with the Habs than St. Louis.
Yeah.
But I think a team would certainly pick him up even to be their 1B in case the number one goes down. Also wanted to mention that Spencer Knight played on Sunday night. He had a narrow loss to the Kings, but he only allowed 2 goals on 37 shots faced. So last we talked, Spencer Knight was sent back to the AHL, but sounds like he's back up. He's looked really good, actually, in his past 2 starts after getting sent down in February. So good to see that, because we were getting some fan questions about him. Should I pick up Spencer Knight while Jack Campbell's on IR? Certainly. I think that's a great option for sure. Other injury news, Nick, of significance, the Columbus Blue Jackets have lost 2 key players, Boone Jenner, their top line center, and Jacob Voracek. They still looked good. They beat the Vegas Golden Knights, who we'll get to in a second. But Cole Sillinger, a guy we were touting, a rookie earlier in the season, had his first career hat trick. And he's a guy that's going to see a bigger role with Jenner out, maybe long term with a back injury.
It's funny. So I put out my 20 fantasy thoughts on Sunday, and I believe thought number 17, I'm like, maybe you should gauge some trade interest in Patrick Laine because they're falling like flies. Then all of a sudden they come out and Cole Sillinger gets a hat trick. He turns into Cole Sillinger and there's value there. Right. I just wonder long-term. I love these gutsy narratives and storylines. Like you mentioned LA, half the roster is gone and they still beat a powerhouse. Arguably one of the best teams, the top 3 team in this league in the Florida Panthers. I was impressed with that. I love these gutsy type of performances and good on Columbus because they were a big time dog in that game and maybe Vegas giving a bit too much love to Vegas. But that was a really, really impressive effort. And we're looking in fantasy and DFS, Pete, we're looking for these type of teams late in the season where you can extract some value from, right?
Definitely. And I mean, speaking of Vegas, what are the chances that this team actually could miss the playoffs? Because they don't look very good at all. We see other teams out there still winning every other game, like teams like Dallas and Edmonton, and they come to mind. I know Minnesota's in a free fall right now, but it's not like they have a lot of cushion, Vegas. And now Pacioretty's injured again. Mm-hmm. Leonard's injured again. Right. Mark Stone, like nowhere to be found. We don't know really what the severity of his injury is. And with Vegas, Nick, we have to almost like throw out that long-term IR narrative because they got to make the playoffs first. So they may need Mark Stone back down the stretch just to sneak into the playoffs, right?
I think it's tremendous that what we're in year five of this Vegas team, and maybe this is the first dose of scrutiny that this team has dealt with, right? Like, it really has been a fairy tale for 5 years. Now, all of a sudden, they're up against it, if you know what I'm saying. I'm Stats Guy Nick on this week's podcast. Have a listen to these numbers. If you're in Vegas, I don't think you want to listen. But with Jack Eichel, 4-8-1, the last 15 games since the All-Star break, great time in Vegas, by the way. William Karlsson, 1 goal in 15 games. Chandler Stephens, who, by the way, had a great quote on Sunday following that loss to Columbus. 2 goals in 15 games. Alex Pietrangelo, 2 goals in 15 games. Shea Theodore, 0 goals in 15 games. Your guy, actually my guy, Gino Dadonov, 2 goals in 15 games. What I'm trying to tell you is this has to come within. They're 5-9-1 in that stretch, 34 goals for, 46 goals against. They got to tighten up. They got to find a way. This is a reason why you pay your big boys some money. I know they're missing some key players, Pete, but this team has to rally within itself, and they can do it, in my opinion.
And Riley Smith is also day-to-day, so that just adds to the confusion, adds to the dysfunction going on right now with the lineup. Like I said, it's not even like that the guys aren't performing. Their top guys are out, and then the middle-tier guys are not performing. So really troubling stuff going on in Vegas. Couple other injury lineup notes. Elias Pettersson missed the game on Sunday for Vancouver. Tight loss to Tampa Bay. That's a big blow for them. I was surprised they were even in that game without Pettersson. And then Miro Heiskanen for the Dallas Stars out indefinitely with mono. So that's unfortunate. And then the LA Kings are missing a bunch of guys, like you said, Arvidsson. Arvidsson, Drew Doughty, Athanasiou, since we last talked, they're all out. So keep a look at Martin Furk. He's got 2 goals in 3 games, playing some big minutes coming up from the AHL. But anyone you're liking as replacements on either Vancouver, Dallas, or LA fantasy-wise?
Esa Lindell, I'd have a look at. Yeah, obviously, you know, I've had mono. I'm not sure if you've had it, but this guy, we may not see Heiskanen for the rest of the season. Like, it could last a couple weeks. It can go for 2 or 3 months. I've known people that it's been longer than shorter. Mine was probably a bit longer than most people. I was actually in hospital. So like, it really, really depends. That's a big time loss for Dallas. Arthur Kaliev, like, I want him to get cooking. Gabe Vilardi, like, there's guys that I would look at from a DFS standpoint, but there's not really guys that are roster mainstays. Like, even Drew Doughty, Sean Dursey would be the logical pickup in-house. But I just don't have much faith. And again, that was a really, really impressive victory by LA on Sunday against the Florida Panthers. I wanted to pivot into the schedule quick, Pete. You know, we're getting closer to the fantasy postseason and playoffs. And I think it's more imperative to, you know, position yourself to manipulate the schedule. So the 4-game teams this week, Arizona, Dallas, the Islanders, the Rangers, Ottawa Senators, San Jose, Vancouver, and Washington. So obviously you're looking for some depth adds there. I like Ottawa's schedule. They have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. They're playing Arizona. They're playing Columbus, Philadelphia, at Montreal. So yeah, we could see some high-octane offense in those games. Tim Stützle, Josh Norris, Connor Brown are guys I would look at. I like Vancouver's schedule as well. Connor Garland, Vasily Podkolzin, I think internally is a guy who could be elevated up that lineup. And the teams I would stay away from: Anaheim, Colorado, Minnesota, Seattle, St. Louis, and Tampa. Those are the 6 teams that have 2 game weeks, Pete. How do you feel about that?
I agree. I know that you probably agree that you should not stay away from David Perron. You've been pumping his tires for a while, and he's really taking it back to his production from recent years. Nice bounce back stretch for Perron. So he's kind of like must add once again for the St. Louis Blues. And Buchnevich is out for them, so he's playing a really big role. Couple other players to keep an eye on. Definitely Nico Daws has kept it going. We've been touting him a little bit. Some nice performances recently, and I was doing some digging. This guy, in addition to only being 21, he led the OHL in save percentage in 2019-20. So maybe this is exactly what meets the eye. You know, I'm been impressed with him. And he looks like he could be the goalie of the future for the New Jersey Devils. And then, you know, a couple other injury notes. Jacob Chychrun, hopefully that's not serious, because that could have been one of the biggest defenseman movers at the trade deadline. So hopefully he's okay. And if they choose to trade him, maybe he can go to a good landing spot, because a lot of teams could certainly use that player. And then, you know, Ricard Raquel is another one who could get traded, who's banged up right now. He didn't play in Anaheim's most recent game. So just a couple of guys to keep an eye on if you want to add either Chychrun or Raquel if somebody drops them and then it turns out they're not really injured seriously. Either or both of those guys could very well be traded.
The good old scoop and stash. Some fan questions before we wrap. And thanks so much for everything on Instagram and Twitter. Martin Natchez drop. I say yes. Do you say yes? It's a quick answer here, Pete. I say yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't had a great season. I was really excited about that player last year and the previous year from what we saw. But there hasn't been... Like the second and third lines in Carolina have not been super fantasy relevant this season.
I agree.
So I'd probably drop Nietzsche unless it's a keeper league or a dynasty.
That's fair. We got a question about Rem Pitlick, which is great because I brought him up earlier and I was tweeting about him on Sunday. 23 games with Montreal, 6 goals, 10 assists, 16 points, line 2 and PP2 look. So a great DFS look there. I do agree with Rem Pitlick. Drop Adrian Kempe for Craig Smith. I would think about it. I don't know about you, like Kempe's a guy in my league that, you know, routinely picked up and dropped. And the way Craig Smith is producing, that's a big story for me when you look at Boston, because they're looking for some depth, but their third line's really starting to cook the last month or so, Pete.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you don't know, it's what you were saying about Dylan Strome, but it's an even more intriguing situation because it, you know, it goes in line with the Bruins' ceiling and their playoff hopes. I mean, you could say that you hope Dylan Strome stays with the Blackhawks because he's playing with elite line mates, but a lot of people who are Bruins fans and also people who have DeBrusque in fantasy are hoping that he sticks around because it seems like this blend that the Bruins got going on right now with, you know, Smith producing on his own. And then the second line's been really good with Howla between the two studs and then DeBrusque up top. I mean, it's working really well and the Bruins are getting production from all three of their lines, which when was the last time the Bruins had two good lines, let alone three? That makes them a really dangerous team come playoff time, Nick.
Much different dynamic. And again, like the Swayman story is spectacular. He's on fire. Yeah. Really, really is on fire. So I look at the Boston Bruins. I think they know their window. Patrice Bergeron's in a contract year. I think it's likely he obviously re-signs there, but those guys are not getting any younger. So I look for that team to add a couple more questions. Should I drop Kakanen for Dawes? I'm on the Dawes train right now. I don't really believe in Minnesota's goaltending. And somebody else asks, should I drop Hellebuck for Dawes? I wouldn't go that far, Pete.
Yeah, don't drop Hellebuck. That said, Hellebuck has been, someone was asking over the weekend if we could talk about some of our biggest busts in fantasy. I mean, team-wise, the Winnipeg Jets have really disappointed me. I don't want to pin it all on Connor Hellebuck because there's been a lot going on, including a coaching change. But when you look at how much we expected of Connor Hellebuck, and it seems like every single goal, every single game, Nick, he's given up 4 or 5 goals over the past like month. So I'd certainly put Connor Hellebuck in that conversation as one of the biggest disappointments in fantasy. That said, I still would hang on tight and I would not drop him. But yet, Nico Dawes, certainly on the cusp of the top 25 goalie rankings this week. So you have to start thinking about some of these guys on the fringe. Would I drop John Gibson for Nico Dawes? Yeah, I probably would. Would I drop Kaapo Kähkönen for Nico Dawes? I'd be hesitant, but I probably would right now.
Anaheim's another team to watch for next week because I think they could be busy. Ricky Raquel, Lindholm on the backhand, potentially Manson as well. So certainly a lot happening, right? Like, you know, I think a lot can change certainly on some rosters, and I think we can extract some value in the next week. Let's hope for some trades here, Pete.
Yeah, one guy I was actually just looking at when we were talking about the Colorado needs a defenseman, Nick Leddy is in a contract year 2022 UFA. So, I mean, that would be perfect for them. Or any other contender, really, including Toronto, if someone wants to add Nick Leddy. I think even though he has like a horrible plus minus, he's actually been better than I expected him to be going from the Islanders to the Red Wings. So keep an eye on Nick Leddy as well if you're looking at diamond in the rough players that could help a team's deep postseason run. And then, yeah, we'll be back at you on Thursday, guest TBD, but excited for somebody good. We always find one. Good to be with you.
I think we got to find an insider somewhere. It's deadline season. This is when Nick Alberga thrives on social media. So let's do it.
So Thursday, let's appoint it as the trade deadline preview. Hopefully we'll have a deal before then. If not, we'll go full spectrum and try to figure out what's about to happen in the next week or so. The trade deadline is 1 week away, March 21st. Really excited about it. So for Waiver Wire James, producer Bobby, Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, talk to you on Thursday. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thanks for listening.